Hello, this is your Polycast for Friday, November 17th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Senator Al Franken is accused of sexual misconduct, and the state Supreme Court upholds Governor Dayton's vetoes. DFL Senator Al Franken is being roundly condemned over allegations that he forcibly kissed and appeared to grope a woman 11 years ago during a USO trip to entertain soldiers in the Middle East. News anchor Leanne Tweeden told her story yesterday on a radio station website and later at a news conference.
He just mashed his lips against my face, and he stuck his tongue in my mouth so fast. And all I can remember is that his lips were really wet and it was slimy. In my mind, I called him fish lips the rest of the trip because that's just what it reminded me of. I don't know why. And he stuck his tongue down my mouth, and I remember I pushed him off with my hands.
There's also a picture taken by a photographer who went along on that USO tour that shows Franken reaching for Tweeden's chest as she's sleeping, slumped against the side of a cargo airplane wearing a military helmet and a flak vest. She said she didn't even know this had happened until she was looking through a collection of the photos when she got home. Franken said yesterday in a statement that he remembers the skit rehearsal differently, but he says he's disgusted by the picture and understands why Tweeden would feel violated by it. Franken apologized. He said he's done a lot of things that he thought were funny, but in retrospect were offensive. Franken's fellow Democrats quickly condemned his actions. Some called for an ethics investigation, and at least two called for his resignation. President Trump also weighed in last night, calling it, quote, really bad. The president also challenged Franken's authority to question anyone else's behavior, as Franken has weighed in on other sexual misconduct matters. As for Tweeden, she said Franken's apology was sufficient.
The apology? Sure, I accept it. Yes. I mean, people make mistakes, and of course he knew he made a mistake. So yes, I do accept that apology. The ethics investigation, if that's what Mitch McConnell wants to do, that's on them. I'm not calling for that. If that's what he wants to do.
As I mentioned, at least two DFL elected officials are calling on Franken to resign from the Senate. It's unclear where the Senate ethics process may lead. Matt Sepik has more.
Minnesota's other U.S. Senator, Amy Klobuchar, issued a statement condemning the behavior and calling for the Senate Ethics Committee to investigate. But she is not calling for Franken's resignation. DFL Congressman Keith Ellison told CARE 11 he wasn't ready to say whether Franken should step down.
I'm glad Senator Franken is taking it seriously. He has endorsed the ethics process, and that's good. He has issued an apology in his second statement. That's good. But Ms. Tweeden is still, you know, upset, humiliated, and traumatized by what happened. And that has to be addressed in a very serious way.
Minnesota congressional candidate Angie Craig says she's giving $15,000 in campaign contributions from Franken to a nonprofit that helps sexual assault survivors. Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin says she's giving Franken's campaign donations to a women veterans group. Others in his party say Franken should go. State Representative Aaron Murphy and State Auditor Rebecca Otto, who are both running for governor, each issued statements urging him to step down. Party activist Megan Thomas agrees. She leads the DFL Feminist Caucus and says this is an opportunity for Democrats to set an example. She says DFL State Senator Dan Schoen, accused of harassing a campaign worker and sending a lewd photo to a Capitol staffer, should also resign. Thomas says the photo of Franken grinning as he reaches for Tweeden's breasts is particularly disturbing.
I ride Metro City buses. That's the nightmare for a woman on the bus. You fall asleep and someone grabs you.
Some Republicans are also joining the call for Franken to quit, including Minnesota Party Chair Jennifer Carnahan. She's also calling on Schoen to leave the Minnesota Senate, but she's not asking the same of Republican State Representative Tony Cornish, who's been accused of sending sexually suggestive text messages and propositioning a lobbyist. Cornish insists he did not behave inappropriately and has apologized for some of the texts he sent. Carnahan says she's waiting for the results of an outside investigation before passing judgment.
I think the difference is that a number of people came forward with very direct accounts as it relates to Senator Schoen. Whereas when you look at Representative Cornish, there are named people, but they still have to do an investigation to see if those accounts are accurate.
Cornish has been suspended as Public Safety Committee chair. Former Republican House Speaker Kurt Zellers has called for his resignation. NPR Washington Desk editor correspondent Ron Elving says an ethics investigation against Franken could break new ground because the alleged incidents happened before he was elected.
I'm not saying there hasn't been one, but I cannot find an instance of where the Senate Ethics Committee has gotten involved in investigating conduct prior to someone being elected to the Senate. One thing I can say, and that is that there's no precedent for a member being expelled or censured by the Senate for conduct prior to their joining the Senate.
Franken has yet to comment beyond the statement and wants the Ethics Committee to investigate. Covering politics, I'm Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The Minnesota Supreme Court has given DFL Governor Mark Dayton a legal victory by upholding his line item veto of House and Senate operating funds. The 5-1 decision yesterday overturned a district court ruling that said Dayton's action was unconstitutional. The decision left legislative leaders scrambling to patch up their finances until the start of the 2018 session in February. Tim Pugmire has more.
Justices ruled that Dayton acted within his constitutional power last spring when he zeroed out the $130 million two-year allocation to the House and Senate. They declined to rule whether the governor was coercing lawmakers to renegotiate parts of the budget bills he signed. The ruling also made clear that the legislature has sufficient money available to continue operations until its next regular session, which begins February 20th. Dayton issued a statement saying he was very pleased with the decision. He also said he views the dispute as concluded. Republican Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka said he was shocked by the ruling.
It's important that the legislative branch have equal power with the governor, and under this situation, we don't. And so we have to make extraordinary decisions and take money from places that we know we should not as a result of this decision. And so we will figure our way through it, but this is not right.
Following the decision, Gazelka and other lawmakers met to take emergency action to replenish the dwindling finances of the House and Senate and prevent expected staff layoffs. They voted to transfer nearly $21 million from a separate legislative branch account. Republican House Speaker Kurt Dowd said it was an action he didn't want to take. He blamed the court for not resolving the issue.
The Supreme Court did not really decide things, but unfortunately, we had hoped that they would end this debacle, and they have not.
The Republican-backed resolution making the money transfer also took aim at Dayton and his administration. It prevents any of those funds from being used to make payments on the two-year-old Minnesota Senate building. Missed payments could put the state's credit rating in jeopardy, but Dowd defended the action.
The governor has line item vetoed the money that would pay the debt service on that Senate building. I am not looking under my couch cushions to find a way out of that for the governor. He needs to understand that his decisions do have consequences.
They passed a separate resolution that prohibits legislative staff from assisting the executive branch prepare legislation. DFL Senate Minority Leader Tom Bach cautioned against the moves. Given the prolonged legal fight, Bach told Republicans they were making a bad situation worse.
This will be the biggest do-nothing session we've ever seen if this environment that we're in between the legislature and the executive branch is still as toxic as it is today on February 20th.
With a temporary funding fix now in place, Republicans are planning to pass a permanent solution quickly next session. Dayton could choose to veto that funding too. GOP House Majority Leader Joyce Pepin urged a united front for such a scenario.
If the House and Senate Democrats will join with the House and Senate Republicans in overriding the governor's veto, all of these problems will go away. We will be able to fully fund all of our operations.
It's unclear how much the legal fight will end up costing taxpayers now that it's over. Both sides hired high-priced lawyers. Gazelka said the combined bill is already in the millions, but he said he has no regrets about suing the governor. Dayton said it never should have happened. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire at the Capitol.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. Have a great weekend. I'll see you again here next week.